Amen. Wow. Well, good morning. It's great to see you. We welcome you if you're brand new here to Calvary Chapel. We have a little welcome pack that we put together. You can get that at our information booth there in the lobby. Find out all you need to know about church here and how to get involved. Guys, today's the final day that you can sign up for our men's retreat next weekend. We're going to be in Sacramento, New Mexico. I'm going to be taking us through 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a wonderful venue up there. Great, great food, great time of fellowship. So we'll all be there next weekend. You can still sign up. There's still some spots available. So if that would interest you, certainly speak with someone there at the information booth. And you can register and pay for that all online. If you just go to the website, ccsuncity.org, our website, and follow the links. The ladies will also be having a conference on Friday, October 1st through Saturday, October 2nd. Their conference is going to take place right here in the sanctuary. Ladies, you can begin signing up for that. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful weekend as you get encouraged in the Lord. I believe the cost for that is $50. And that includes lunch and different supplies. And so go ahead and sign up for that now. That's going to be an awesome time. The brown wooden boxes that you see around our sanctuary, we call those agape boxes. Those are there for your tithes, your offerings, your prayer requests, your praise reports. Let's take a moment and put our cell phones to silent mode. And why don't you stand and greet your neighbor in the name of the Lord. Hey, Nicole. I'd like to look at one Bible verse in our time together this morning, just a very short verse, and I'm just going to put it up on screen there for us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I need that verse right now. I think all of us as Christians need that verse right now. Father, I pray that that verse would become a reality in our lives. Lord, we love your promises. We love to study them and underline them, and we understand many of them intellectually. And yet it's difficult to translate them into everyday life so that we act upon them. And I do pray, Lord, that we would grab hold of this promise. It would shape our attitude, our motivation, the way we live. I pray that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of people are absolutely living in fear today. Many people are absolutely paralyzed by fear. And let's face it, there's a lot to be afraid of right now. I know a lot of people were on edge this weekend, fearing another terrorist attack of some sort, considering the significance of this weekend. And a lot of people are afraid of terrorists. We're still going through this ugly pandemic. People are afraid of getting sick with COVID-19. People are afraid of losing their jobs. People are afraid of what's happening in our country, in this world. People are afraid of dying or having someone close to them die. There's much to be afraid of. And unfortunately, many Christians are living in fear. Many Christians have shrunk back from their God-given responsibilities as Christians because of fear. And the Lord does not want us to live that way. As his people, we must be on the front lines of engaging this culture, interacting with people, sharing the gospel, being a witness. As God's people, we're to be on the front lines of reaching out to, touching, and ministering to those that hurt, those that struggle. And so we have this promise before us this morning. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want you to know that that promise is for every single one of us here this morning as Christians. Do you call yourself a Christian this morning? If you are a born-again Christian here this morning, that promise is for you. It's not just for Christian missionaries. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for evangelists. It's not just for Christian doctors and Christian nurses and Christian first responders. This is a verse and a promise for every single one of us as Christians. And I want to just break it down very quickly this morning. I want you to notice the word, first of all, fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Crucial to understand exactly what's being said there, to understand the meaning of that word fear. In the original Greek language, that is the Greek word deileos. And it's a real interesting Greek word, because this is the only time you find it in the entire Greek New Testament, right here, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Only time in Scripture. Deileos. And understand that this word does not mean the feeling of fear, the sensation of being afraid. There's another Greek word that's all over the Bible that speaks of that. It's the word phobia or phobos. We get our English word phobia from that. That's not the word here. This is the word deileos, and it does not speak of feeling afraid. This verse is not telling us as Christians that we can never feel afraid. This verse is not telling us that it's sinful to feel afraid. We can't help that sometimes. There are a lot of credible threats in society that make us feel afraid, and we can't help that. God isn't down on us feeling afraid. It's not like if somebody jumps out in an alleyway and scares you and you're feeling afraid, that God is looking down from heaven, shaking his head. Why didn't you obey 2 Timothy 1, verse 7? No. This word speaks more of what you do with the feeling of fear. Deileos is a word that could be translated cowardice, timidity, the absence of courage. This is a word that speaks of allowing something that makes you legitimately feel afraid to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. God has not given us, his people, a spirit of cowardice in the face of things that we're really afraid about. Instead, looking at it positive, God has given us a spirit of courage and boldness to keep moving forward even when there's something that you're afraid of. That's what's being said. I think Nelson Mandela perfectly captured this concept. He said, and I quote, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid. It's he who conquers the fear." We all feel afraid. It's conquering that fear. It's doing what you're supposed to do, even though you're afraid. God has given us a spirit of courage, not cowardice. You remember that story in the Old Testament? You remember where the nation of Israel had come out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, they went to Mount Sinai, they got the law, and they were in the wilderness, and they were getting ready to go into the Promised Land. You remember the story? And they decided to send how many spies into the land? 12 spies. So these 12 spies, they go into the land, they check it all out, and they find that it is an awesome land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The grapes are huge, this incredible, awesome thing. But what else did they see in the Promised Land? Big, ugly, hairy, intimidating giants, right? They came back. And mind you, all 12 saw the giants and all 12 were afraid. They experienced the sensation of fear. 10 of those spies said, "We can't go." 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Yeah, there's giants, but let's go. The Lord is with us." And of course, you know the story. It's a sad story. As is usually the case, cowardice spreads. Fear is what spreads. And word got out to the whole congregation. There's giants. Don't go into the Promised Land. And what happened? Joshua and Caleb, they said, "Let's go." But they were drowned out. And that first generation out of Egypt, because they failed to go into the Promised Land, did laps in the wilderness for 40 years until they died out. Joshua and Caleb would survive that, and they would go in. Gang, many giants, many challenges before us. But we're to be like Joshua and Caleb. Let's do it. The Lord is with us. We're supposed to be reaching out to this world courageously. Let's do it. The Lord is with us. I know there's a lot of scary things. I know there's this thing called cancel culture that can wipe you out should you stand up for the truth. I know that there's hostility towards the Christian faith, towards biblical Christian traditional morals. But we got to be courageous and stand for what's right and what's true. God has not given you a spirit of cowardice. God has given you a spirit of courage. Notice what else he's given us. It says, power. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Now, I want you to think about it. Born again Christian, you have power. Not just any power. God's power. The Holy Spirit inside you has given you power. You are a child in the family of God. The power of the living God who created all things rests upon you. This is the Greek word dunamis. We get our English word dynamite. This speaks of explosive, supernatural power. The protective, powerful hand of God rests on you and in you. Miracles are possible. Do you still believe that? Amen. Consider the power that God exhibited through his people throughout history, throughout the scripture. Okay, so Joshua and Caleb end up going into the promised land. Joshua leads the people and they defeat the giants. And you remember the walls of Jericho fell. They go into the land by faith and they experience the power of God. Caleb is one of my favorite Bible characters. It says when they're splitting up the territory in the promised land, Caleb said, "Give me the most rugged area. And I'll take the place where all the giants hang out." This guy was killing giants in his 80s. This guy saw the power of God move. Moses saw the power of God in their deliverance from Egypt. The power of God in crossing the Red Sea. Can you imagine how afraid you'd be caught in that trap? And then to see the power of God move. I think of Elijah the prophet who by the power of God called fire down from heaven. David, King David. Oh, there's a man who saw the power of God. The teenage boy who slayed the mighty giant named Goliath. I mean, you think of that story. That giant was intimidating. Everyone in the army of Israel was scared, backing off. David shows up and he says, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine making trouble for our people?" And you remember he went, said, "I'll take him." And he went into a little stream bed and got 5 stones. Why did he get 5 stones? We find out later Goliath had 4 brothers. I think he was ready for all 5. And what do you see David doing? Running right at that giant. I always vision him running at the top of his foot and his hair is blowing back in the wind. Goes right at him, sinks that giant. And then after he does that, the scripture says that he kept running. He's taking off over the whole Philistine army. Only then do the Israelites go, "Well, let's join them." Power of God. I think of a Jeremiah, an Ezekiel, an Isaiah, prophets who were sent to deliver an unpopular message to their current generation. And many of them were completely ostracized, persecuted, some even martyred, yet by the power of God they stood still. Daniel, he's told, you can't pray by his government. What does Daniel do? He prays. Lands him in a lion's den. By the power of God, the mouths of the lions are stopped. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, their government tells them to bow before an image, or you'll get thrown in a fire. Those 3 young men said, "We won't bow." And they saw the power of God. You have power. You move into the New Testament and all the stories of how God used his people. Peter and John are arrested for preaching. They're beaten. They're told never to preach the gospel again. What do? They go out and they preach the gospel again. I think of Stephen, the first martyr of the church, who stood before a crowd and testified to his death. By the power of God, he was able to give witness to the last moment. And he was the first martyr of the church. And from his sacrifice, many, many people, many good things happened. In fact, we know that that had a major impact on Saul, who had been standing there, who would later become Paul the Apostle. Talk about the power of God. Look how the power of God used Paul. Look what he went through. Look how he impacted his generation. And you go through all of the different men and women that God used throughout church history. The Wesleys, the Luthers, Elizabeth Elliot, all these different people. And I'll tell you what, they saw and felt and experienced the power of God. Christian, God has given you a spirit of power. Do you believe that? And so you need to be courageous and do what needs to be done. As a Christian living in this day, in this generation, in this time, knowing that he's covered you in his power, you might even see a few miracles if you stepped out. You might see people come to Christ through your life. It says also that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of what? Love. Now, this is the supernatural love of God. This is agape love. This is the highest love. This is supernatural love. God has given you a spirit of love, Christian. You know the love of God. The Holy Spirit inside you brings that love of God. In other words, think of it this way. Christian, you have the capacity to love other people supernaturally. Unconditionally. In fact, I really believe that it's that love that distinguishes us as true born-again Christians. I would say if you could strip everything away as proof, the one thing in a Christian's life that has to be evident would be love. Dangerous love. Risky love. Sacrificial love. The love of God. In fact, it has to be there. I think Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but not love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but not have love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That supernatural love of God is in you, my brother and sister in Christ. And it's supposed to be distinguishing us. So as Christians, we are to love God. And God loves people, so we're to love people. Jesus said we're to love one another as he loves us. You are to love your brothers and sisters in Christ the exact same way that Jesus loves you. Which means caring for each other, being with one another, strengthening one another, encouraging one another. If need be, touching one another. The hand of healing. Being close. We're also to love everyone in this world. We are to be the most compassionate people. And Christian love is always to be active. 1 John 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our love is to be observed, practical. Compassionate, in action. You know, the early church was absolutely distinguished from the rest of the world because of their sacrificial love for one another. It wasn't easy being a Christian in the early part of church history, folks. Talk about persecution, the Roman persecution. lot of Christians were forced to go underground. But one of the historians made this note of Christianity, looking at the church when it was still really brand new and everybody's, what's this Christian thing? A historian said, and I quote, "See how they love one another. See how they're ready even to die for one another." We have all of the testimony in history. Christians were the one that ran into the leper colony. Christians were the one that ran into risky situations to show compassion. Yeah, it takes a lot of courage, but you know what? Our love is to be courageous. I'll never forget a story. It was a few years ago. Another disease broke out, Ebola, a lot more serious than COVID. It happened in Africa, and there were two Christian missionary doctors. Do you remember this? They flew into the country to help minister to the people that had Ebola, and both of them contracted Ebola and got deathly sick. By God's grace, they got back to America and they were healed. But I'll tell you what, that's love. That's love. That's courageous love. We're to love people like that. And I'll tell you what, as Christians, if we're focused on others and loving other people and walking, loving God and loving other people in His name, and concerned about reaching out to others, you'll forget about yourself and your own fear. In fact, 1 John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know, as dangerous as life gets, we are the people of God, and we're to love. And we're to reach out. And we're to be involved, and we're to be engaged. We have the power of God and the love of God. You know, we talk a lot about the first responders when we think about 9/11. Can you imagine being the ones that are running into the burning building while everybody else is running out? That's who we're supposed to be. You're covered. You're protected. I don't believe any Christian dies one nanosecond before God says so. And so let's do exactly what He's calling us to do. As long as we have breath and life. Also says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? He's given us a spirit of sound mind. Interesting word in the Greek. Hard to translate into English. It literally speaks of having a sound, disciplined mind. A well-balanced mind. A calmness. Being able to think through situations in the midst of a lot of chaos. One author defines it this way: Paul has in mind a measure of control over one's thinking and actions that allows a balanced outlook on any situation. When everything's coming unglued, this quality of level-headedness will keep the Christian focused calmly on the power and love that the Spirit provides, and so it makes perseverance in life and in ministry possible. You stay level-headed. You keep on track. Gang, there's a world that's nuts right now. It's amazing to me all the decisions that get made so quickly. Quick, react. Go this way, go this way. Do this, do that. Everybody's wondering, who's right? You know who's right? You know who gets through all this? The people that have a mind that's disciplined because they're trusting in the Lord. Amen. Self-discipline, self-calming. I think it speaks a lot of the supernatural peace of God. Keeping our mind at rest. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is this supernatural peace, this calmness, the staying power, steady Eddie, even Stephen. That all of us as Christians should experience by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we can be courageous. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of courage, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Of course, as Christians, we know that none of that comes from us, right? That's not something that you and I can, oh, I'm going to be powerful, or I'm going to be courageous. You know what it comes from? It comes from our relationship with God. I really wish that the word spirit in the Bible were capitalized. It gives a lot of people the impression that we're talking about our own spirits of courage. No, this is... We can only do this because the Holy Spirit lives within us. I like one translation of this verse. It goes like this. For when God gave us his spirit, it was not timidity that we received, but power, love, and self-discipline. This is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And he gives you courage and power and love and a sound mind. And remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you, the one who died on the cross for your sins and rose again, the one who loves you like no one else and has a plan for your life. He's with you. And you're under the protective care of God, your heavenly Father, and his eye is never off you. And the scripture says that he who began a good thing will be faithful to complete it. There's a plan for you. We're told in Romans chapter 8, we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Be courageous. Be courageous in the way you're living your life. Don't forsake what being a Christian means. Let God use you. People need Christian witness right now. Father, I pray that you would Lord, help us to see you. In light of everything that might make us afraid. Because you're bigger, you're way bigger than any problem we might encounter. You're bigger than anything. Lord, I pray that you would use your people in these days. I pray that we would be used by you. I pray that we'd be usable by you. Lord, we're not going to live a reckless life, but we're also not going to live in fear. And I pray that you would help us find that balance by the power of your Holy Spirit. There's so much good that you want to do in and through our lives. Use us. Lord, may your people rise to the occasion that falls before us right now. All over this world, right here in El Paso, all over the United States of America, all over the world, may your people rise to the occasion. Lord, we trust you with everything that life has to offer. We trust you with each day. I pray that your powerful hand of protection would be upon your people as we seek to minister in your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.